Podcast Network Asia.
This episode may include topics, references, or discussions around sexual assault, domestic violence, stalking, physical violence, or subject matters that may be disturbing to some of our listeners. We do acknowledge that this content may be difficult. We also encourage you to care for your safety and well-being.
Do you feel like murdering a long list of movies and TV shows in one go? We've got you. It's easy to binge watch and have movie marathons with the help of Globe Prepaid's GoPlus99 with GoWatch. With a total of 16 GB of data, you can now have 8 GB for all sites you need and 8 GB for your continuous binge watching routine for different apps like YouTube, Netflix, View, iWanTFC, HBO Go, NBA, WeTV, and Go Movies. Not just that, you also get unlimited text to all networks valid for 7 days. To register, all you need to do is grab your phones, download the new Globe One or GCash app, or dial *143# on your mobile phones to quickly register. Have a killer time watching movies and TV series with Globe Prepaid's GoPlus99 with GoWatch. You are listening to the concluding episode of our four-part feature on the movie The Exorcism of Emily Rose and the real-life story it's based on, The Exorcism of Annalise Michel. Part of the Last 24 Hours podcast continuing Halloween theme season featuring scary movies based on true crime. If you've listened to the previous episodes, then you're here to follow the frightening and heartbreaking journey of Annalise's parents, Josef and Anna Michel, and the two priests tasked by the church to conduct the exorcisms, Fathers Arnold Renz and Ernst Alt. It's been a month since the trial started and 2 years since the death of Annalise, and all four defendants have been charged with negligent homicide for failing to provide medical care to Annalise. The verdict will be handed down by a 3-judge panel. For weeks now, many of the spectators in court have sat transfixed as they listen to one unbelievable testimony after another. When one of the 42 recorded exorcisms played to the hushed courtroom, there were audible gasps. At one point, one of Annalise's sisters ran out of the courtroom, sobbing. According to the Washington Post, both priests are convinced that Annalise was truly possessed and that her death finally freed her from this anguish. The article stated that the prosecutor in the case have asked for both priests to be fined and the parents declared guilty but not punished as they have already, quote, suffered enough. Bishop Stengel, who approved the exorcism on Annalise, was also quoted as saying that in the future, he will only approve an exorcism if the possessed person agrees to the presence of a doctor during the ritual. In the end, all four were found guilty of a lesser charge, negligent manslaughter. The court handed down 6-month prison sentences and 3 years in probation for each defendant, which was later converted to suspended prison sentences, whereby the defendants are given a probation period, which means that if they do not break the law during the suspension period and fulfill specific conditions of the probation, the judge usually dismissed the sentence. Despite the guilty verdict, the Michels remain convinced that they have done the right thing. Anna Michel, Annalise's mother, insisted that there was no other course of action and that God himself directed them to exorcise their daughter's demons. In the years following the trial, Annalise's death continued to haunt the town of Klingenberg. According to the Telegraph UK, the town's residents are embarrassed about the whole ordeal and prefer not to talk about it at all, which will prove challenging as Annalise has become an icon and an unofficial saint for some Catholics who feel that modern secular interpretations of the Bible deny what they feel are deep, miraculous truths. According to a regional paper, buses of pilgrims, some coming from as far away as Holland, will come to Annalise's grave, which has become a gathering point for religious outsiders. They write notes with requests and thank her for help which they leave on the grave. According to Franz Barthel, a local journalist, all these pilgrims are convinced that Annalise was possessed and that her death atoned for the sins of many. Some even believe that her grave can purify souls. After the release of the movie The Exorcism of Emily Rose, the number of visitors to Annalise's grave went up. In 2005, Annalise's mother, who still lived in the same house where her daughter died, would hand out prayer leaflets to visitors, urging them to pray daily. In a later interview, she stated that given Annalise's devotion to her fate when she was alive, this development would have made her daughter happy. To know that her suffering and sacrifice are inspiring young people to devote their lives to God makes her death, at least in her eyes, worth it. I don't know of many, if any at all, incidents of exorcisms that have ended in the possessed becoming a venerated figure. But then again, this is just one more mystery to add to the tragic story of Annalise Michel. Even as we've heard witness testimonies, recordings, and the German justice system itself has made a decision on what they think happened to Annalise, we're still left with so many questions. Perhaps if we move closer to home, say at the Manila City Jail in the Philippines, we'll get a better picture of another real exorcism. One that also inspired a film and is considered to be Asia's first case of demonic possession. Are you ready to know more about the exorcism of Clarita Villanueva? Not many would have known about Clarita Villanueva's story when the movie Clarita came out in June 2019. After all, the incident happened in the early 50s. Starring Jody Santamaria in the title role of Clarita, the movie is based on the shocking and unbelievable incident of demonic possession that allegedly happened to Clarita Villanueva when she was incarcerated at the Manila City Jail.
Ano klaseng Diyos meron ka?
Bakit na po ako? Nasasaktan po ako, Padre. Ano po ba ang kasalanan ko sa inyo?
Depending on the source, Clarita was born in Bacolod and never knew her father. Her mother was a spiritist and a fortune teller. At the age of 12, she was orphaned, and with no other immediate family to take her in, she became a vagrant and eventually turned to prostitution. In the summer of 1953, at the age of 17, she made her way to Manila to look for her father and ended up settling in the district of Malate, where she turned tricks at various bars to survive. There are varying reports of how Clarita ended up in prison in the first place. Some indicate that she was taken in for general vagrancy. Others report, including Wikipedia, that she was detained for prostitution. But, according to a book by Frank Edwards, a U.S. radio personality popular back then for telling stories of paranormal matters, Clarita was detained after she was spotted screaming and acting insane in public as a crowd of onlookers watched. Whatever the reason, she was thrown at the Manila City Jail on May 10th. It didn't take long for the first of many creepy incidents to begin. According to some sources, Clarita began screaming in the middle of the night. The guards found her cowering in a corner with noticeable bite wounds all over her body. However, there was no other person in the cell with her. When the prison personnel asked her what happened, they weren't quite sure what to make of her story. Clarita claimed that she was attacked by two phantom entities. One, she described, is a very big dark man with curly hair all over the body, while the other, a smaller one, had an angelic face and a big mustache. In spite of the mysterious bite marks, the guards assumed that Clarita was possibly just having a panic attack and left her alone in the cell after she calmed down. But that was only the beginning. If you're anything like me, watching vlogs, movies, and TV shows are perfect ways of ending a long day. That's why I'm so glad I've got Globe Prepaid's GoPlus99 with GoWatch promo. Check this out. With a total of 16 GB of data, You can now have HEB for all the sites you need, and HEB for your favorite video streaming apps like YouTube, Netflix, Vue, iWant TFC, HBO Go, NBA, WeTV, and Go Movies. Not just that, you also get unlimited text to all networks, valid for 7 days. All you need to do is download the new Globe One or GCash app or dial *143# on your mobile phones. So what are you waiting for? End your day right. End it with Globe Prepaid's Go Plus 99 with Go Watch promo. Happy Go Watch and chill, everybody. In the following days, Clarita would become hysterical and violent, claiming that she was under attack by the same phantom creatures. She would be seen writhing in agony, with some prisoners claiming that they had seen her tossed around like a rag doll inside her cell by an invisible assailant. After 9 days, Clarita would be taken to meet then-Manila Mayor Arsenio Lacson, so she could be examined by the city's chief medical examiner, Mariano Lara. I'm not sure if this was standard practice for the office of the mayor, but then again, nothing was standard or normal at all about Clarita. Witnesses claim that within 15 minutes, Clarita began to scream and claim that she was under attack again. As she sat next to the mayor himself, she squirmed and then laughed as if she's being tickled and announced that her invisible attackers were taking turns biting her. Mayor Lacson reportedly saw what looked like human bites on Clarita's skin, one on her neck, one on her index finger, and one that apparently appeared while he was holding her hand. The mayor would later be quoted to say that what's happening to Clarita is something dark, beyond anything he could explain. Nevertheless, he asked her to try and draw a picture of what's assailing her, but when she reached for the pencil, it flew away from her hand and shot across the room. The following day, Clarita would be examined further by about 100 medical specialists and more media people. One of them, a journalist named Rodolfo Nazareno, reported that Clarita would go into a trance and then collapse. During this moment, one of the doctors pricked her with a pin, but she did not respond. They also observed a curious bite mark on the right side of Clarita's nape. As a result of this examination, the doctors concluded that Clarita was suffering from a nervous disorder known as hysterical fugue or hysteria psychoneurosis, a condition they theorized resulted from her desperate need to escape her miserable life. Meanwhile, the bite marks they determined are only changes in skin coloring caused by nervous fits. Chief Medical Examiner Dr. Lara, who was present at the first examination of Clarita with the mayor, we disagree with this finding, announcing to the press that what's happening to Clarita is the work of some unearthly being. Because of these very public episodes attended by a lot of media, it didn't take long for Clarita's story to go, well, viral, so to speak. An excerpt from the book, The True Story of Clarita Villanueva, reported that the UPI and other world news service began to report the phenomenon worldwide. From Switzerland, France, Germany, England, Canada, and the US, there wasn't a country where Clarita's story wasn't on the front page. This account came from Lester Sumrall, a Pentecostal pastor and evangelist from Arkansas, who would eventually travel to the Philippines to offer his help with Clarita. His 120-page book would provide one of the few detailed accounts of Clarita's exorcism and would later become key to helping him establish a church in the Philippines. The book actually was popular enough that it's been reprinted many times under different titles, but several sources would point out a few inconsistencies with this account, not to mention the authenticity of a few of the incidents allegedly reported in local newspapers. In his book, Sumrall revealed the following.
One doctor accused the girl of putting on an act in order to get publicity. Clarita gazed at the doctor with her snake-like eyes and said, "You will die." He didn't feel anything at the moment, but the following day, the doctor expired without even getting sick.
Regardless, without even meeting Clarita firsthand, he was convinced that she was experiencing some sort of demonic possession, and he was the one person who could drive these demons out. According to Sumrall, he prayed hard for days and tried to ignore the calling, but realized that if he doesn't act on a good deed, then it's God's work undone. After he was given permission, presumably by the mayor, to finally meet her, witnesses claim things escalated quickly and the pastor found himself engaged in a spiritual battle with the evil forces torturing Clarita. He described the encounter in his book.
As Clarita was being led into the room, she saw me and screamed violently, "I hate you!" Instantly, "I know you hate me," I said, "and I have come to cast you out." That was the beginning of the confrontation. There was a raging battle with the girl blaspheming God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Her eyes were burning coals of fire and full of hate. I commanded the evil in spirit in her to loose her. After a 3-day confrontation with the devil in her, the miracle of God came upon her. She relaxed, smiled, and she said, "He's gone."
In a YouTube video, Sumrall claimed that after the exorcism, he saw Clarita's transformation from a wild animal into someone with a light on her face as she began to embrace God's love. He also claimed that since the exorcism, Clarita has had no incidents of demonic attacks and has gone back to Bacolod, married a rice farmer, and has 2 children. According to Philstar Global, Mayor Lacson was so happy with the exorcism that he offered the pastor a reward. Sumrall used the opportunity to fast-track building permits for a church he was building and asked permission to preach to thousands at an open field near the Manila City Hall. And there you have it. You've experienced Annalisa's tragic story and learned more about Clarita's curious case, whether real or fake, or in the case of Annalise, the result of mental illness, a neurological condition, or authentic demonic possession. We'll never know for sure. Just remember this. Every time you start to think that any of this is just too unreal, too scary, too weird to be true, I think back to this quote. "The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world that he didn't exist." You have just listened to the concluding episode of a 4-part Choose Your Own Character episode of The Last 24 Hours podcast, where we feature your favorite scary movies based on true crime. Don't miss the next exciting episode as we continue The Nightmare Before Christmas with our Halloween theme season. Like and subscribe to The Last 24 Hours podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else you get your podcast fix to get updates on the next episode.
The views and opinions expressed by the podcast creators, hosts, and guests do not necessarily reflect the official policy and position of Podcast Network Asia, the hosts of the program, or other programs of the network. Any content provided by the people on the podcast are of their own opinion and are not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, club, organization, company, individual, or anyone or anything.